You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following program was recorded at an earlier date.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning and welcome to another edition of A Biblical Response. And we're going to make one of those today. By the way, all of us working together here in the power of the Spirit, which is how we do things here. And before we introduce our topic for today, I'd like to introduce my wonderful co-host, Keith Masters, all the way up from Delray Beach. Thanks for coming, brother.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm alive and well.
Blessed
praise
to
God.
Be here.
It is a blessing, isn't it?
It is.
You know, I keep saying, and I don't say it because I'm trying to convince myself. Actually, I'm already convinced how wonderful this team is. I'm just going to say, testify what God has done in my life so many times. It's awesome what God does always, but particularly the people that He's always brought me into ministry with. I can't say enough about the way God brings the church together, you know, and how we work together. And the things that God, only God can do, because we're willing to be here. And frankly, beyond my willingness or yours, the rest is up to God.
Amen.
You know, amen. And I just thank God for that.
And
thank
God for you.
It's
not a coincidence.
It is not a coincidence.
No.
It really isn't. And that makes it, and the other thing then is because of that, I don't really have to sweat the small stuff because God's got that.
Amen.
You know, so Dave, just open your mouth and I'll tell you what to say. And I think that's cool. And I open my mouth a lot. Down at the end of our table, Lance Winkler, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Wonderful. And good. You're wonderful as well.
I feel great today.
That is awesome.
It's a good day.
It is a great day because Ann's going to tell us why.
Oh.
Ann Limhoko, good to see you.
You remember my tagline.
Her tagline, right. Led right into it.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry, I had to increase my volume. I could hear myself. Today is the day the Lord has made, and why?
Every day is a blessing. Blessing from the Lord. I don't care if it's raining or if it's hot. You know, I mean, we live in Florida. It's going to be hot, right? So let's just get past that and give God the thanks, you know, for what we have.
Oh, yeah. It's all throughout Scripture that we give thanks in all circumstances.
In all,
we
right.
thank God that we have the sun when some people... I have a friend who I saw in D.C. last week, and she's in Ohio. She said she had constant rain and cold and cloudiness, so she misses Florida. So we're blessed here in Florida.
We are, certainly, mm-hmm. and not just weather-wise, but there's some other factors that make Florida a great state to live in.
Mm.
The land of the free in Florida.
Right, exactly.
We're going to be talking about freedom
we
later
are today.
On throughout the program.
Tends to be our theme anyway, is God and government and all of that, and today would be no different.
It's a big year.
It is a big year. It is a big year.
So true, Keith.
We talked earlier in one program, we might hit on this point again down the road, about the midterms are critical.
Yes.
As to, you know, who's going to be elected or reelected and the kind of worldview they bring into their office, which does affect the policies and the laws that they make and, you know, pass and all of that. So it's critical today. But today... there was what's in the news, and it was soon after last Sunday, where the 250th celebration and the rededication of our nation to God, and there were several speakers that were part of that day. One of them was Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, and he, in the course of his sharing on the video that was part of that day, he spoke about the Declaration of Independence and the content of that wonderful holy document, really, and how, and essentially, when you read the document, what you understand is that God is the source of human rights, not government.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, government is intended by God to protect the rights that he is giving, has given mm-hmm. to his people.
Mm-hmm.
Following that, MS Now had a segment where they played that, and then they began to mock the content of his sharing. And so really what we're going to do today is look at that, start with that issue of the content of the Declaration of Independence, what it says about God's providing rights and government protecting them. I couldn't find the actual clip from the MS Now broadcast,
mm-hmm.
but what I have following that is Speaker Johnson's response to that clip, and I think it contains some really interesting and helpful material. So I'm going to play that clip, and then we're just going to jump in. So okay. I'm playing it on my phone, so it should, the volume should be up. I'll take care of that at this end, but I hope you can hear it. Oh, I got it.
On Sunday, a few days ago, we had the Rededicate 250 event on the National Mall. It was an extraordinary thing. Many thousands of Americans came out to participate in that. An historic event. It was a welcome opportunity to recommit ourselves to the cause that our founders fought and died for 250 years ago. And sadly, too many young Americans are no longer taught the moral and religious foundations of our extraordinary country, and that is the source of our greatness, the reason we became the most free, most successful, most powerful, most benevolent nation in the history of the world. But evidently some in the mainstream media missed all that history lesson as well. And I just wanted to comment, it was brought to my attention yesterday that MS Now, formerly MSNBC, mocked me in a big segment they had. And the reason they mocked me was because in my remarks, I led the prayer of rededication on the Mall. I stated the self-evident truth that our rights do not derive from government, they derive from our Creator. And they had this entire segment about how ridiculous that was and what a crazy notion, and isn't Johnson such a crazy fundamentalist, et cetera. The best part is I was literally quoting from the Declaration of Independence. So let me take this opportunity. I want to just direct my friends in the mainstream media to the second paragraph of our nation's birth certificate, the Declaration, which remains the most foundational and consequential sentence in all of American history. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among others the rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It shouldn't be too much to ask that the people who talk about politics on TV, on a network that millions of Americans tune into, have a basic understanding of America's political foundations. I hope this serves as a friendly reminder to every American that the best civic education is not from your favorite TV anchor or late night host, okay? It comes from our founding documents. You ought to go read the Declaration and the Constitution and the Federalist Papers and the other foundational texts that shape and guide our country. And as we approach the 250th birthday of the greatest nation in history, I encourage all of us to revisit those founding documents. It's really important. It's really important. The founders believed that in order to keep a constitutional republic, to maintain the republic, you had to have an informed and engaged electorate, the people, a government of, by, and for the people ourselves. The people have to be engaged. They have to know basic civics. They got to know their foundations. And quite clearly, we need that review. At least some of the media do, okay?
And that's the clip. I think it was a nicely worded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the real problem that was... That we see occurring, and it's not just on that one broadcast, of course, it's again and again and again, is that those in the know, people who are out there in the media influencing folks, many folks, sadly, who do not even understand the basics of how our nation was founded.
Amen.
And so I'm just going to throw it out to Lance to kind of get us rolling.
Well, I'll tell you, Speaker Johnson was a lot more calm and a lot more nice than I think my response would have been to the woman. I think it was Katie Tour.
Yep.
He kept his emotion out of it, I'll tell you.
Yeah, he did. He mm-hmm. does. He does a good job of that. Of MS Now, who said that Speaker Johnson was trying to put God above the Declaration of Independence. And I thought, that is such an, I'm going to use the term, ignorant statement.
That was my word. Ignorant.
I don't even know how to start to address her on that. There's so much confusion in that. But I was thinking today, as we discussed a little bit, I think our confusion somewhat starts understanding the relationship of the Constitution mm-hmm. with the Declaration. That's we think good. Of the Constitution as a foundational document, which it is. I mean, mm-hmm. it was written within the first 10 years of our birth as a nation. But the Declaration preceded it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was even a document, Articles of Confederation, mm-hmm. that was in between the mm-hmm. Declaration and the Constitution. And so just reading a little bit about what Abraham Lincoln said about the relationship between the Constitution and the Declaration, he said the Declaration is the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about the picture. He calls it, he borrows from Greek mythology. He says the picture of the golden apples, which mm-hmm. the golden apples represented virtue
yeah.
and all these things, wisdom. And he says the Declaration is the picture. The Constitution is the silver frame that enframes it.
Mm.
In other words, the thing we're supposed to really be looking at
mm-hmm.
is the Declaration. That is our foundational document.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always liked to look at it in this sense that the Declaration of Independence is the mind. It's mm-hmm. the brain that
okay.
has the thoughts. It knows what the nation should be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Constitution is the bones, the sinew,
mm-hmm.
You know, muscle that allows that mind to work itself out.
That's good. That's good.
And to actualize what it's thinking in space and in time. And so if you, as the Katie Tour does on MS Now, and Senator Kaine, I'm going to bring up Senator Tim Kaine here in a moment, mm-hmm. his comments on the Declaration. But if we think like they do, what they're trying to do is pull the mind, the thought, the purpose, the soul from the Constitution, from the body of the United
mm-hmm.
States.
Mm-hmm.
Once you remove the mind, that body, the Constitution, dies. And you can twist that body then into any grotesque shape you want
mm-hmm.
because it will not resist and it will not push back because the mind is gone and it is now dead. Now, they call that when they do this kind of thing, they
mm-hmm.
remove the mind and the Declaration
mm-hmm.
from the Constitution. They
mm-hmm.
call it, well, they make the Constitution a living document.
Meaning in other words, it can change.
It can change.
Right.
And so what they're actually doing is talking about the death of the document, and they can change it. They can twist the arms around into whatever shape. And then that's where you get, we find that a woman has the right to kill this child in her womb. We find
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
that a man has the right, if a biological man has the right to have a baby,
mm-hmm.
and the biological man has the right to be in the confines of, private confines of women. And
mm-hmm.
you find all of these rights,
mm-hmm.
supposedly, in the Constitution. But we're not supposed to be looking in the Constitution for our rights.
Mm-hmm.
The Declaration says
mm-hmm.
that they are created. We're to be looking at nature and creation
mm-hmm.
and nature's God.
Which is God.
And then using mm-hmm. part of that creation that he gave us, which is a conscience,
mm-hmm.
and defining actually what our rights are from there.
Amen.
And that is that that to me is why there is the polarity
mm-hmm.
in our country today. I've said for a long time now, looking at the two parties, we're supposed to have two administrative parties, two different administrations.
Mm-hmm.
So two different ideas of how to administrate
mm-hmm.
the one government.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since the late 19th century into the 20th century,
mm-hmm.
I think what we've seen is one of these parties become an actual different government, not just administration of the government that was set
like
up,
but
a whole new government.
Mm-hmm.
That's based on a whole different mind
mm-hmm.
than the Declaration.
I agree.
And in losing the mind of the founders, we have lost
Amen.
Our minds.
I'm sorry. Can I just throw
yeah,
this
go
in?
Right ahead.
And I want some commentary back from this, but I'm thinking very fundamentally now. I mean, foundationally.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say, and I believe this is certainly all of this. In this room believe this is true, that God created America.
Yep.
God's plan. Now, did he create other nations? I'm sure there's no question that whatever God has created, he was responsible for it. And Israel, of course, certainly, the first nation on the earth, we could say God was created and sustained. But here is it's a theological point that I'm going to say has been lost in the modern mind. Modern heart, I think, is a better way of saying that. And I'm going to say the church is in great part responsible for not transmitting this truth into every age, including today. But it's one reason why there's a great disconnect between how we see America today and what God's intentions were. And here's the thing. God is, the word is immutable, which I love this word, but it really means God doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the only being in the universe that does not change.
Right.
Why? Because God is perfect. He's always existed. That's part of our faith. And he's perfect, always has been, always will be. So that from that, we can say, because God is perfect, everything he does comes out of his perfection, his perfect will, his perfect mind, his perfect heart. And the other thing we can say about God, and it's, you can go through the scriptures and you can see this being revealed, is that when God starts something, he intends for that to continue
mm-hmm.
throughout the age. In other words, there's going to come a day when all of creation is going to cease, when all of time is going to end. And that's all, and in the Bible as well, you know, it may not be tomorrow or next week, but it's going to happen. Until that time, God's perfect will means that when God starts something, he intends for it to continue until that end.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can speak then about America with the same authority and faith that God started this nation, and the evidence is so clear in all of those founding documents, in the words, the tons of words of the founding fathers, in the unity of their faith about what God was doing, so that when someone today, out of their total ignorance of what God has done, says things like on the MS Now broadcast about the foundational content of the Declaration of Independence, they're totally wrong, totally off base, and totally mocking God, not the Speaker of the House.
Right.
Okay. But here is the point. Because these things are true, we must all stop. And really, to whom do we go to ask, is this correct? Is what I'm saying right now correct? We go to God, because he is the ultimate primary source of revelation about himself, his attributes, his will, and his plans. And I'm saying that all that we're doing here today is, and all the heart of this program, is to call listeners back to getting on our knees. We really need to do that.
Right.
And taking those questions, the wonderments about government and God, especially today in America, where the division, political division in America, the not just political, but the moral division in America, and certainly beneath all that, the religious division in America, threatens to destroy us. Now, here's the thing. God will not allow his creation to be destroyed. He will not allow it.
No.
But he will allow us to suffer in the midst of our own seeking to find his will and to do it.
Yes.
And so now today we present this issue for your thoughts, considerations, and prayer about that very fundamental thing.
This has been what the left has been trying to do, is get God out of the inception of the creation of this nation.
Amen.
So it's been a movement. And if you take God out of the inception of the founding of our country, you can take God out of everything, and that is what they want to do. God is at the center of our government, and this verse always comes to mind, John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Liberty mm-hmm. is how the Lord created us. If you look at the foundation of the gospel, it's based on liberty. You know, we want liberty from sin. We want liberty from bondage. He breaks the chains of sin off of us. It's how God created us, and the founders knew that. And they knew that the rights came from God, and that this Declaration of Independence is just securing our rights. It's not giving us the rights, but the rights come from God. And you have the left that has been trying to take away God from government for such a long time. You look at the New York Times, and I know that, you know, the 1619 Project, they're trying to reframe the founding of our government around slavery, and it's taking away God. And when they do that, it's advantageous for them. And that, and we as Christians need to be discerning and use wisdom. There's an organization, and I don't know if you guys heard of it, but I've talked about it a lot on this program. It's called Wall Builders. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard of Wall Builders?
Sure.
David and his son, Tim Barton, actually collect original, authentic documents. Okay, I was at this museum, what, a couple months ago. I saw the actual original proclamations of humiliation and fasting all over the walls. They create original documents. And as a journalist, okay, you're one too, David, we go to the truth of where the evidence is. Mm-hmm. This is, it's not even a matter of opinion. It's a matter of empirical evidence to show that God is all over the founding of this nation.
Amen.
It's truth. And you go to this, go to wallbuilders.com. I would want to encourage all our listeners to go to wallbuilders.com and look at all the documents they have collected that point to God in the centrality of the founding of our nation. And they want to get rid of that. And we as Christians, we are the church. If we don't stand up for this, they will be successful. But no, we as Christians, as the Big C Church, need to stand up and speak about the origins of the Christian of our nation. And I give kudos to Speaker Michael Johnson. I was there, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. And there was such a solemn, I don't even know what, there was like a solemn feeling in that whole environment. And you could tell the how serious the unity of when he spoke, and he actually, when he actually rededicated the nation in the end of his document, which was at the very end of his proclamation, he was so choked up because he knew how serious this was.
Yeah,
in not only the natural but in the spiritual. Amen. It was a solemn moment that day when he read this. So
absolutely, Keith.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that President Trump wants to reunite this nation under God, one nation under God.
Yeah.
And if President Trump wears blue trousers, they're going to say it was the wrong color of the day.
Amen.
Right. So, you know, so anything that he does, and then to, for President Trump, and even, you know, some of the Christians who don't care for him, you know, he's trying to establish one nation under God and to reestablish this nation as one nation under God,
amen,
who gave us this land.
Yes.
Amen.
And in the book of Genesis, David, you were speaking about, you know, that God gave us this land. God created all the land. He created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe that, then you have to start to look at that, because that's where exactly. the problem lies.
Yeah. Yeah,
you have to understand that. That's where the problem lies. And go just start in the book of Genesis right there.
Adam and Eve were allowed to walk the Garden of Eden in freedom. It was the Lord gave them their own will. But I'm sorry to interrupt, Lance.
I was just going to mention, it's funny, you brought something to mind when you said capital C, church.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about the declaration it uses for the verb that we are all created equal. It uses a small c because it's a verb. But when it says we are endowed by our creator, it uses a capital C denoting divinity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's... And why they use the term creator? Why not use the term God? Mm. Why not use the term, how about Jehovah? How about even Christ or Savior, or use another term for God? But the founders, they were educated men. They were seminarians. They had been, because they were only
readers.
Yeah. The institutions of higher learning were all seminaries. And nine, and this is important, there were 10 of them, and 9 out of 10 of them at that time were Reformed doctrine seminaries.
Okay.
There was one Catholic seminary, but they were 9 Reformed doctrine seminaries. That's where the men were educated. And so you can see that the foundations of their thinking were coming out of that Reformation that happened in 1517,
right.
Martin Luther.
You know, 200 and some years before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This happened, and it, when you go through the timeline, it's actually not very long. You have 1517 when Luther nails the 95 Theses to the door at Wittenberg, and that kind of begins this whole idea of the reforming of the Catholic Church. And
yes.
And then just 100 years later,
yes.
you have the Puritans landing at Plymouth Rock.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
1600s.
So
yep.
it's just 100 years that these guys are figuring out we don't like living under that kind of government that we have throughout Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just 150 years later
yeah.
when we're signing the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
So it's a, you can draw this golden thread, this thread that, that mm-hmm. runs through back through Luther. I think it runs back through Martin Luther, then clear back to the
George Huss way back in the day.
And Huss.
People
and,
don't, yes.
Yeah, and,
did I say
and
Huss?
Wycliffe. Yeah,
it Wycliffe, actually,
it
yes.
rhymes with goose. I found that
okay,
out.
Okay, so I did not know that.
but yeah. clear back to the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
Clear back to Christ and his sayings. And
yeah.
I think you can just follow that thread all the way up. But the idea of using the term creator.
Yeah, why did they do that?
Well, because they're looking, they're saying what's communicating to us is God, but in his office as creator. Because we're dealing with government. We're dealing with the secular government. We're dealing with an institution that God has created, but it's for the physical part of man. It's for the secular part of who man is.
Mm-hmm.
And since God created all this physical creation, that's the term they're using. They're saying we're going to find out from God what our rights are, but through his office as creator, so that we can look at creation and we can hear God speak to us there. Now, I can hear God speak to me through the Spirit. I can hear God speak to me through the Scriptures. I can hear God speak to
me too.
In many different ways. But the founders knew when we're going to deal with government and that institution of man that, or the institution of God that is for the physical man, we're going to use the term creator.
And Elohim. So that's why,
see, they,
Elohim in Hebrew,
well,
right? Which he uses in Genesis.
Well,
when
that
he
would be, I don't think that is the term for creator. But
Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M.
Okay, okay.
In the beginning in Genesis, he uses Elohim because he creates the heavens and the earth and the man. That's my understanding, but we could look it up.
A couple of minutes before the break, so.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to mention quickly then, how do we discover through creation our rights?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. How do we discover the rights and the wrongs that God is communicating through creation? And Paul talks about it's through creation we can discover the Godhead. He said all things you can discover things looking through that. And then in the second chapter he goes into that the law by nature is written on the hearts of the Gentile.
Yes.
Now you know he
yes.
says that. I don't know if we have time to go through that real quick.
Why don't we just come to a point we can take a break,
okay,
and then come back. And I will say, listener, before we take the break, if you have a question or a comment, you're welcome to call in. The number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1101. And I'll try to remember to mention this when we come back from the break.
What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Welcome back to Biblical Response, and as I mentioned before the break, if you do want to call, maybe you have a comment, question, The number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. We'll give you a chance to share your comment, and then we'll thank you for your call because we have to move on into other areas. You might stop and discuss what you said. Maybe not. I don't know, but certainly welcome to do that. Take it back, those you wanted to carry on, Lance, with Senator Kaine's commentary on that MS Now thing.
Yes. The Tim Kaine said the quiet part out loud a few months ago, and it kind of got this thing started about the Declaration of Independence. He was in a committee, and I can't remember what the committee was discussing, but he said, you know, this idea that our rights come from God. Now, this is a sitting senator. In fact, he was the vice president candidate under Hillary Clinton, I think.
Yeah, yes, he was.
He was her running mate. And he said this idea that rights and laws come from God and do not come from government. He says if we're going to think like that, then we're no different than the Ayatollah. Mm-hmm. We're no different than Iran.
Yep.
They believe they understand natural law, and they believe that they are they're following it, and they're telling. And he says they're persecuting all kinds of religion, doing all kinds of things. He says, what makes us any better than them?
That's a great question.
It is a good question. That's the question I think that has to be answered. And I think it's the crux of the definition of what the Declaration is saying in its second paragraph there.
Mm-hmm.
So time out. He's saying that God is sovereign over the laws. Tim Kaine is saying this.
Well, here's what he's actually saying. He doesn't mind acknowledging
right. That's
God.
That's the question, because but this is Tim Kaine.
It's the God, though, that he's talking, that Tim Kaine has in his mind that he's talking about. Who is this God that is it's the same God for everybody, is
right.
What he's saying.
Okay.
So, and this is the problem.
So does that talk about the big G God?
He's not talking about the Trinity. God. He's not talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
The problem. Right. Herein lies the problem in the United States. A lot of people think, well, Allah, you know, the Muslim God is the same God as ours.
Right.
Or
absolutely not.
Right.
The God in, you know, Vishnu and the Trinity in Hinduism is the same as our Trinity. It's just a little. And I believed this for a long time that, well, if you believe in a creator God, then you believe that our rights, you can understand how our rights could come from that.
Lance, real fast. Yeah, I'm gonna interject here for 1 second because that's so true and so clear. I was out on the street and somebody came up to me and said, "There's only one God. What are you talking about? What are you crazy?" And that's exactly what he said. So he's just thinking of God. He doesn't believe in Jesus as God.
Right. Right.
So this is where the separation comes to play.
And it's very easy to fall into that. You know, even if you're a good Christian, you think, well, but a person, even if they can have a misunderstanding about who God is, they still can understand the Declaration. But here is the problem that Tim Kaine has, is that there are two foundational truths that they're talking about here. It's not just that we are endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights. It's that we are created equal. Remember, that's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one that Abraham Lincoln deals with in the Gettysburg Address, you know. That's the one that he mentions. He doesn't mention the idea of rights. He mentions the idea of equality. Now, I want us all to think here about this.
Mm.
What nation, what philosophy, what theology throughout the world has ever instituted equality as a part of its system?
None.
Not a single one.
Think about that. Yeah.
So here's the thing. You think the Muslim religion. Mm-mm. Is there equality in the Muslim religion between men and women? Infidels? Mm-mm. The idea that infidels, there should be violence against them, the dehumanization of them. There is an inequality in the Muslim religion. Mm-mm. And, in fact, their imams in Shia, in the Shia part of Muslim, is they're infallible.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
They speak as the voice of God on earth.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
So when they say, hey, women, you got to wear this. Hey, men, you're capable. You're able to do this. This is coming from the voice of God himself.
Mm. Mm.
And he is not equal to the other people that would reply against him. No, that's not true.
Mm.
See, so here's the thing. Muslim religion, the Jewish religion, Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any equality in what the Jews think about? Do they not think that there is a difference between Jews
and Gentiles.
Of course. Do you not think about the men and the women?
Yeah.
Do they not think and striate, they create striations throughout their culture because they don't, they believe that some are closer to God than others. There is no equality in it.
Right.
Now look, we're talking about the Hindu religion.
Yeah.
Look at the caste system in India. Well, you can't even walk down the same side of the street
or
as someone else
from a different caste.
Who's you can't because and it's all developed on their idea of God and who is closer. So you come to Catholicism.
The Pope.
Where is the equality in Catholicism?
Yeah.
And look what it did throughout Europe. In you have the nobility, you have kings, you have the nobility, you have a striated culture.
Right.
With different levels. So here's the thing. There is one philosophy and theology that says that we're equal because it truly recognizes the idea that we're not trying to get to God. Christ came to us.
Amen.
This is the Christian idea of equality.
Now, I'm glad you got there because as you were sharing, and it's all, very high quality, well-organized thought here. But I know some listeners were saying, because the word equality has different meaning.
Yes.
You know, if there's 100,000 people listening right now, they all have a different, when they hear the word. And so, you know, and, but when you said what you said, see, that's what I was going to ask, is let's define equality theologically, because that's what the founders were thinking when they used the word.
Yes.
And say that again.
Well, because of the rights coming from God, then if we're not equal before God, then those rights would be different for different factions in the country.
Yeah.
But if you believe, as the Protestants did, as they came out of the Catholic Church and said, wait a minute, we don't believe that there's a guy that holds the keys to the kingdom of heaven.
Yep.
They're sitting over there in the Vatican. We just don't believe that he has that kind of authority.
Yep.
And he's that much higher than us. And he gives that authority to his cardinals, bishops, and priests.
Yeah.
And I've got to go to them to receive forgiveness and absolution. They don't. The Protestants said, no, that's not the way it is. We are all a kingdom of priests and kings, and we are all have the priesthood of the believer.
Which is all over the Bible.
All over the Bible, and we're all equal before God. There is no other philosophy. Now, somebody might say, well, what about atheism? No God at all, then. It doesn't matter who's closer to God or who isn't closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
But atheism has its God. When you get rid of God, it makes the individual.
Yeah.
Humanistic.
God.
Very.
Their own selves as God.
Humanistic existentialism.
So we've got all these gods that can speak for themselves walking around. Well, what's greater than a lot? What's greater than one God? Many gods. And this is what socialism, this is what fascism, this is what it does.
Yep.
Atheistic expressions. I mean, it's a political expression of atheism is socialism.
Yeah.
What it does is it says that, well, okay, there's one thing stronger than a god, and that's a lot of gods. And so that's the majority. The majority becomes God. And then from the majority, and this is the way Tim Kaine thinks, from that majority then comes the power to give rights. I can give you the right for this man to marry this other man. I can give you this right to destroy the child in your womb. I can give you these rights. You cannot. At least that's not the system they were talking about in the Declaration, because the Declaration said they're unalienable. In other words, they can't be taken away. And yet, supposedly they gave that right of abortion in 73, and we just took it away in 2023. Well, if it's an unalienable right, it can't be taken away. And what they're saying in 2023 is that that right never existed. That right never existed.
Yes.
And so if we're in a nation right now that thinks that the majority basically is God.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to go back to the Declaration of Independence that says, no, we're all equal before God because it's a Christian philosophy. And I don't care if you want to call it the Christian nationalism buzzword now, the Christian.
Yeah.
This is not a Christian nation. Yes. The philosophy that's set forth in the Declaration is the only philosophy that can back a system of government like we have.
It is purely Christian.
And we blessed Christ. We held him up as our king and said he's going to make the laws. He's going to make the rules through communicate those through creation.
Yep.
and he's blessed us. And for the last 250 years. And right now, though, and it will wane. It will wane if we do not hold him in the place that he is. And it's not because he says, oh, I got to be worshipped because I'm God. It's that if you believe the truth, it will make you free.
Yes.
Whether you want it or not, it'll make you free.
Amen.
And so I hope that is an explanation of the idea of equality. That's the reason why those two truths are held right with each other in the Declaration. All of the nations throughout the world, through the history of man, have believed that rights came from God. They all believed it. Remember, the Apostle Paul appealed to Rome because he had rights that other people didn't have, because Tarsus, where he was born, was a sister city to Rome. He was closer to God. So all these rights, they've always been there. The thing that has not been there is the concept of Christ and the true belief that God came to us and made us all equal.
Praise God.
And you know what? It's funny. I've been thinking, our equality then is not in our abilities. Because if we look at it as our abilities, that's like the atheist. There's not a single human that's equal to another. It has to be before God to have equality. And so so through Christ, through what he's done, it's our actual inability to get to God and what Christ does for us. So our equality is not in our abilities. It's in our inability.
Yes.
We're all equal.
It's grace.
We're all in
sin. It's grace. You're right. It's grace.
All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And it's in our inabilities that we are actually equal before God and then dependent upon Christ. That is the equality that the founder saw. That's it.
That's it. Exactly right.
They were Christians, Protestants.
And it does point back to grace, because everything we have comes from God.
Oh, yeah.
And I go to the core of salvation, what the scriptures speak about, and that, to all who receive him, but John 1:12, to all who received him, who believed on his name, he gave the power or the right, in some translation, to become children of God.
Amen.
And that it is through Christ. And that's the full equality of God's grace given. If you choose Christ, you get him. And everything that goes with that. And all the grace to live a saved life, a blessed life in Christ, and to claim not just living in God's kingdom here now today, but having access and citizenship.
Right.
Not because of me, what I did. I didn't do anything except say, Jesus, come into my heart.
Yeah.
And then it happened. But I have no wisdom. I have no resources of my own that I can bring to make that happen. But everybody has access, and that's the
everybody has a measure of faith.
That's the equality.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, the ground is all level at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
But we realize, true Christians realize.
Yeah.
But for the grace of God, there I am. I am that man right there in the gutter. I am the same as him. True Christians realize
they
this
do. Yeah.
And
yes.
realize their equality.
Yeah.
And in fact, in the first part of the United States, they said what really typified and really, when the Great Awakening, which was this revival that was happening from 1730 to 1760, they said what was a true characteristic of it was the egalitarianism or the equal treating. The churches would open, these churches, part of the Great Awakening, and 86% of the population was converted through those years.
Oh,
now,
wow.
You think about that
much.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was amazing.
So it was a Christian nation.
Absolutely.
And it was that conversion that led people to look at separating from England.
Yeah. So it's the preaching of George Whitefield.
Yeah.
Benjamin Franklin said, without the preaching of George Whitefield, there would not be a revolution.
Right.
But they said you could walk down the streets and you would hear the hymns coming from the houses.
Oh,
and
how
they,
cool
and
is
the churches,
that?
Would they opened their doors to, they would have Native Americans. Let them in and preach. The converted, they'd come in, they testify in the name of Christ. They were letting what we used to call Indians come in and preach from the pulpit. slaves come in and preach from the pulpit. They said there was such equality being demonstrated.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they said in our foundational doctrines were created equal, they had something in the soil. I mean, in their very minds, these were reformed thinkers, and they understood what equality was.
I just want to mention our listeners, there's still time to make a call if you have a question or a comment. Number 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. I just wanted to ask, Keith, I was thinking about you, and we were talking about this, because your ministry is mostly on the street. I mean, you go out there, you preach, you're there for people. God sends people to you, he sends you to them. And you've probably seen a wide range of humanity out there on the street, the sinful character of humanity that you have a chance to witness to.
I do. And it's where the Lord opens their hearts.
Yeah.
And while you were speaking, I was thinking of Ephesians 2:8, by grace you have been saved through faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that the separation comes from the left, which isn't having the faith of God, and because they're looking at the secular and they're looking at the personal. Mm-hmm. They're looking at their own interests.
Yeah.
And they're also, their eyes are covered because of the hatred that they have for the sitting president.
Yeah.
So
it's a veil.
It's a veil.
It is a veil.
And yes, David, I have seen, you know, I've seen miracles happen. Is what I've seen.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People accepting Jesus right there on the street. People accepting Jesus right there on the corners, and it's been amazing. So,
and that point.
I mean,
sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just trying to. Did that answer what you were looking for?
Well,
or?
You bring practical experience. And we're talking about this equality that the is spoken of in the Declaration of Independence, the equality that God establishes. So that anyone can come to him.
Amen.
Our equality, right? But I'm saying, and you're out there on the street, you're witnessing this grace of God that's being mediated through you as a minister and being received in the hearts of the people who have just a multiplicity of sins in their history.
Yeah.
Like me.
Like me.
It is. Right.
But until they've come and they've heard the gospel as you shared it and they come to Christ, they're just imprisoned in the darkness of their sin and their inequality.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but they're not understanding that they're in sin.
Right.
And Jesus says, seek me and you will find me, right? Seek and you will find me.
Yeah.
One of the situations that happened or one of the blessings that occurred was when I was in front of the courthouse and a woman came out from the courthouse, a young girl, young woman, and I was out there sharing Jesus, and she accepted Jesus right there because she was having a conversation with her mother before she left the house, who wanted her to find God. And she said on the way in the car to the courthouse, God, if you're real, prove it.
Wow.
And this is what happened.
Yeah.
That's what God does.
So,
I love it.
So,
and see, and God is no respecter of persons.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what life.
Mm-hmm.
Where have you been?
What you've done.
Right.
And he calls you to himself.
Right.
And that is, if we could understand that as a nation, that is the equality that's being talked about.
Oh. Yes.
That
yes.
comes alongside those rights that are given. And that all are given these rights because we're all equal before God. I go back to, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For the righteousness comes from God to us. There's nothing in between.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pope in between. There's no imam in between.
Right. Yes.
Right.
There's
the spirit
guru
of God.
In between.
Amen. It's the spirit of God.
Yes. It is God and us.
Yes, God and us.
Sola fide, sola scriptura. That's what the reformers brought to us, this understanding.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And enshrined then politically and politically expressed in the United States.
Yes.
It's such a nation. It's such a nation. It is a city. It is not the kingdom of Christ in the sense that the kingdom of Christ comes without observation. There is no observation of it.
Yeah.
But it's a little leaven that's hidden in the lump, and it leavens that whole lump. And what we've seen in the country here is the leavening of the gospel of Christ.
It's beautiful.
I mean, throughout, and it is beauty incarnate right here. It's Christ before us right here. And to be trashing it, to say, are we putting God above the Declaration of Independence? I don't know what that means.
Well, I know. I was like, what are you talking about?
But look at what they're looking for. They're looking for power.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
And they have to remove God.
That is their end goal. Their end goal is to have power.
Yeah.
So, and how they're going to discuss that or how they're going to achieve that.
Yeah.
There's no boundaries. And we've seen that. We've witnessed.
Get rid of everything.
There's no boundaries.
No moral law.
And no moral
truth.
No accountability.
Yeah.
No accountability. And they're trying to change the foundation, the cornerstone of this country, who is Jesus Christ.
So that they can
absolutely
say, so that they can say what the rights are.
Yeah.
Do I have time to mention one psalm always rings in my head?
Yeah, go
when
ahead,
we're talking
please.
About this. This is the second psalm. You know, why do the heathen rage?
Yeah.
Why do the heathen rage?
Or nations rage, right?
Is and that a the different... people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against God and his anointed. Two of them, God and the one he anoints, saying, let us cast his cords from us, let us break his bands asunder. Mm. The idea that those who don't have the faith, the heathen of any nation, of any place, that says they rage, they're angry. They're upset.
That's what's happening now.
And they say, we want to cast the cords and the bands that come through creation that gives us our rights, but also gives us our responsibilities. Mm-hmm. They want to cast those things from us. And they imagine these vain things like men can be women. And they imagine these vain things that somehow we're God and that government makes rights. They imagine vain things so that they can be in power. Now, look what the kings and the rulers do. They go, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine whatever you want, and we're going to help you achieve it because then you'll worship us.
And then because we have the power.
Because we have the power.
But that, of course, is a mindset that doesn't ring true with what God has said.
No.
We're living all throughout the display of Psalm 2.
Exactly.
We are living Psalm 2.
Yeah.
And if you want to see the heathen's rage, you can go to MS Now or CNN or whatever that. You get plenty of that. Yeah. Listen, I was thinking, you know, some people are thinking, well, okay, I'm beginning to realize what you're saying is true. How do I do? What do I do? 1 Timothy 2 chapter, verse 1 through 2. Paul writes to Timothy, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, or you can put parenthetically presidents, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way.
Yeah.
Essentially, pray for our leaders. You know, pray for those that are godly. Well, they're going to be under attack too. So pray for them. For those that are not godly, pray that they will have a conversion, that their hearts will be turned toward Christ.
Yes.
We've
we
got
have to
do
pray
this.
For them.
Can
yes.
I mention this too, David?
Yeah.
And for those that are looking, you know, just go through the scripture.
Yes.
Read the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
Read the Gettysburg Address. Mm-hmm. Read these documents that we have and look at the scripture. And what I do this. I mean, I'll look at something, I'll say, I can't understand that, God. What are you telling me here?
Yeah.
And but I will take time and I'm not proud. I'll beg God.
Mm.
Yeah. You got to tell me, please,
help me understand
God.
This.
I'm
Show
begging
me.
You.
Yeah.
And tell me what this says. He will not upbraid you. He will not say, "Hey, what you dummy?" He's not going to say that. He'll give you what that scripture means. And that's what his people have got to do. We're destroyed for the lack of knowledge.
That's true.
But there's a lot of people that don't go. They go to church and they don't want to open up the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they need to open up the Bible.
Yeah.
And then you say, you get a response, well, I don't understand it. Well, there's
That's
a version
Holy
called
Spirit.
The English Standard Version. You can read the English Standard Version or the American Standard Version or the Catholic Standard Version. There's different versions of the Bibles that you can go into.
Or look up the Old English if
maybe
you want to.
50 different versions.
That's the problem, though.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
You go to.
But,
like,
yeah. And I'm sorry, David. But here's the other thing. It's all written by the Spirit of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the truth
inspired
of God.
By
inspired
the word.
Inspired
yes,
by
yes,
the
yes.
word of God.
I mean, you go on Bible Gateway. I use that a lot.
Yes.
And you can look at the versions that they offer, and there's at least 50 or more versions.
Oh, there's so many.
and people that aren't believers would say, well, how can you trust the Bible if there's that many translations written in so many languages?
That's like a whole other program.
And that's because they're saying you have to trust in humanity. I'm saying, you know, humanity's doing it, but God is inspiring it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've said this before, and many people are not Star Trek fans, have no clue what I'm about to talk about.
I will.
But I'm probably zoning out right now.
In the course of developing Star Trek, a race of beings were created called the Klingons.
Yeah.
And they're part of the whole Star Trek universe or other races. But the Klingons became so prominent, especially in the new generation of the Star Trek, that someone actually wrote a language. Someone wrote a Klingon language so that when they were writing the lines for these people, it would be accurate language, and you could translate it to English. So somebody came along and wrote a Bible in Klingon in that created language.
Wow.
Now, okay, so there's that. But
well,
I have heard on several occasions people that would buy that Bible because they were Trekkers, right?
Right.
And got saved because literally met Jesus Christ in the text of those Bibles and got saved because the Holy Spirit of God moves.
Transcended the Klingon language.
And brings the truth of the gospel.
Yeah.
Whatever language. So listen, and you can believe or disbelieve that. I don't really care because it's absolutely true. And if you listen, if you don't believe that, pick up a Bible.
That is the love of God right
there.
It
is the love of God.
That is the love of God right there.
It is the love of God.
That is the love of God right there.
And he will get to you. Believe me, you can't run away from God.
No. Yeah.
I know. I tried.
Yeah.
I tried.
And that's why we need to pray for our leaders.
We do.
And those that don't know the Lord.
We have only like 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Who would like to pray for our nation right now? And for those, especially those that don't believe, who would?
Keith's going to pray for our nation.
Keith's going to pray. You were in. You were at the. You were
oh
at the
gosh,
nation.
Oh my gosh! So that makes me.
Well,
you were our on-site reporter.
Tempest Fugit, folks. Somebody pray.
God, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
We declare that our rights are derived from you and you alone, Lord Jesus. We pray for this truth to spread throughout this nation, that Lord Jesus, we will know the founding of our country and the truth. Lord Jesus, we pray for everyone who knows you, that they would know this truth. But we pray for those who don't know you, Father, that you would encounter them with your presence, that what Lance said, that the ground at the feet of the cross is all even, that you would encounter them with your love, the love of God that changes hearts and minds and lives. We pray for those who don't know you. And we will continue to pray for them that, Lord, it says in your word that you don't desire for anybody to perish, but all to come to eternal life.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for this nation that we live in and for the times that we get to live in, Lord, that we are appointed to live at such a time as this, that we as Christians will continue to proclaim truth and not back down.
Yes.
Lord God, we pray for revelation, wisdom, and discernment, and that all Christians would open their Bible and have a love for the truth, that the Spirit of God will reveal himself as they read the Word of God. And as Lance said, as you ask the Holy Spirit, the Lord, questions that you may have and you do not understand, when you seek him, he will reveal himself and tell you the truth.
Amen.
So we pray for that, Lord. And we say that this country is yours as we have rededicated. Do as you will, Lord God, to proclaim the gospel from this nation throughout the whole world, that true liberty comes from you.
Yes.
God ordained rights, and our declaration just secures those rights, Lord God. We love you, and we thank you for this nation under God,
yes,
indivisible,
yes,
with
Lord.
Liberty and justice, yeah, for all.
We are
in
grateful.
Jesus' name we
in
pray.
In Jesus' name
thank,
we
thank
pray.
God. Well, and the timing is great because our time
thank
is
you,
up.
Thank you,
Ann. Thank you,
Ann,
for
thank
doing
you,
that.
Man.
Praise God.
Thank
praise
you for
God.
Listening. Thank you all my co-hosts for being here today. What a tremendous spirit-led. Oh, awesome. I'm going to be thinking about this for weeks.
That's a good program.
It was a good program. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line,